From beach towels to tea towels, and from mugs to water bottles, the TNT Shop has it all. Browse our shop now at tntradio.live. Informative and engaging. Rick Munn. Rick Munn on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, good night to all you lovely listeners, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, and whatever you're doing, I hope it's nice. Welcome back to Locked and Loaded here on TNT Radio, coming at you live today on Monday, the 14th of November, 2022. Yeah, we've got another weekend out of the way. We're back down to business today. And what have we got in store for you? Well, obviously, we'll be chewing the fat about everything that's going on in the world right now. And there's been a whole spate of stuff happening over the weekend that hopefully we'll be breaking down today and for the rest of the week, as no doubt more madness will continue to unfurl. And just to keep you right here today on the show, I'll be joined in the first hour by Joel Aegis from Sydney in Australia. Very decent young man, actually, who's a semi-regular here on Locked and Loaded. Haven't spoke to him for a little while, so we'll be catching up on what's going on in Oz. And then for my second hour, I'm really happy to be joined for the first time today. Some new blood on Locked and Loaded by Aisling O'Loughlin, who is an Irish journalist and broadcaster who is currently living somewhere in France. And she will be throwing her thoughts and ideas into the mix along with me in the second hour of the show today. I'm looking forward to speaking with her, actually. So that is all ahead of us. As per right now, just to let you know, we have a chat function, which I'm sure some or all of you are aware of. It's on tntradio.live, our website. Scroll to the bottom and there is a live chat box. You can expand it and pitch in with your thoughts, opinions, ideas and comments as the show unfolds. Tell me what you think. Ask a question. I'll try and address it if I can during the show, but sometimes the chat gets a little bit lively and I don't catch all the messages on there. But please, your interaction is very welcome and also very valued. So that's that. What's going on the world stage today? Well, you know, there's no shortage of things happening. Looking at the UK at the moment, there's talk of taxes, higher taxes. And Sonia Bailey will be joining me in a minute. We're going to look at some of the propositions that have been put forward by none other than Jeremy Hunt, our current Chancellor of the Exchequer, who promises to make our eyes water this Christmas. Yes, he wants to make our eyes water, but it won't be tears of joy. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth as he starts to swing the axe at our wallets. So newspaper headlines are reading tax rises for all and it is the last chance to save the NHS. The NHS is on palliative care right now, possibly soon to die. There's no doubt about it. It's a dead duck. It's a black hole. It's mismanaged. It's an organisation that is no longer fit for purpose and it's just simply swallowing up money. Can it recover? Will it recover? Time will only tell, but obviously the government would love to privatise it and take that massive financial burden from around their necks and place it firmly onto our necks. So NHS, last chance to save it. The CBI is urging Jeremy Hunt to relax immigration rules to ease UK staff shortages. That is a laugh. Inflation is a tax rise in drag. Jeremy Hunt plans billions in spending cuts. Hunt given warning of 70 billion increase in UK government borrowing. That's just a snippet of some of the headlines that are coming in and around this issue. On other UK news, exodus of first-time buyers is putting the brakes on the UK housing market. Of course, it's ripe for collapse. The rise in prices is completely unsustainable. And even if it were sustainable, in terms of just simple capital appreciation, people are living in a time of massive job uncertainty, layoffs, possible unemployment, inflation is through the roof, interest rates are going up. It's just a recipe for chaos and disaster on the housing front. So the brakes are being put on the UK housing market as first-time buyers, understandably, get the jitters, or they maybe simply don't want to proceed with the purchase of something at this time that would probably be worth maybe 30% less over the next 2 to 3 years. What else is going on? We are worthy people. Albanians smuggled into the UK say they are excited for the future. Note, smuggled into the UK. It doesn't say Albanians smuggled into the UK are about to be kicked out again because they're illegal. It says they're excited for the future in the UK. They're just being welcomed in. The red carpet is out. They're being put up in cruise ships. They're being put up in luxury hotels, and I mean the best of the best. So, of course they're excited. Who wouldn't be excited? I would be excited. If I was given a free hotel suite, free money, free everything, I would be very excited. But I'm legal, and I'm not getting it. It seems to be the way to get ahead these days is to get across the borders illegally, and you will be well looked after. So, undoubtedly, these will be hot topics for the rest of this week. As per now, just letting you know, we are streaming live on all the major streaming platforms, YouTube, Rumble, BitChute, Odyssey. And of course, you can download our app and stay connected permanently with us from both the Google Play Store and the App Store. Search it out, TNT Radio.
Keeping the commitment.
I love you guys.
Unbelievable.
24/7.
Listen to you every day, have for years.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Okay, let's kick it off with financial woes, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Everyone in the UK will need to pay, quote, a bit more tax, unquote, as the country seeks to balance its books. Chancellor of the Exchequer Jeremy Hunt has said, he is set to deliver his autumn budget on November 17th, has declared he will be playing Scrooge. Humbug! Bah, humbug, I tell you! I wonder, will he be saying that as he enters Westminster, as he sets out his vision to restore financial stability and deliver certainty to families and businesses? Hunt said, we're going to be paying a bit more tax, I'm afraid. He said his plan will help bring down inflation, help control high energy prices, and also get our way back to growing healthily. And here to discuss this vile creature statements is none other than Sonia Bailey from TNT Radio. Sonia, good morning, good afternoon, good evening. How the hell are you?
I'm good, Rick. It's evening here in Australia, so I'll be off to bed shortly. I can't say that any of us is surprised. You know, Hunt's tax and fiscal policies are definitely in stark contrast of predecessors and of former Prime Minister Liz Truss. And for me, that really screams of that attitude of, well, we didn't create the mess. We're just here to clean it up. And of course, we all know that that's not true, but that is definitely the angle that they want to take. So after Truss became Prime Minister on September 5th, she set out her plan, her economic vision for the UK to become a low-tax, high-growth economy that would take advantage of the freedoms of Brexit. And her government used a mini-budget that they essentially ran on. I mean, she was in power for how many weeks? It wasn't even, you know,
something
a quarter.
Like maximum, yeah.
Yeah, you know, she wasn't didn't even get half a it was an quarter
eighth.
In there.
She got an eighth out of her tenureship, not a quarter, an eighth, Sonia, an eighth.
So, you know, she can't really have had much opportunity to do much damage or clean up much of a mess. So, you know, I think it's a little bit easy for Jeremy Hunt and Rishi Sunak to come in and say, oh, we're going to fix everything and it wasn't our fault. But we both know that whilst it's an inherited issue, the practices are definitely generational. The habits are definitely generational, and there's no instantaneous solution to a crippled economy. And of course, we know that the WEF, the World Health Organization, they want to cripple world economies so that they can step in and take over. Yeah. So, you know, I think that that's where, as much as Jeremy Hunt wants to pretend he has really good intentions, we all know he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. I don't know if you're familiar with how this guy looks, but I mean, like, he has evil and twistedness dripping from every pore of his malignant little body. And he looks like, I put a picture up on Twitter. I dug out a picture of Ted Bundy, the infamous American serial killer from the 80s. And if you actually set them side by side, there's a particular post. I'm not kidding you. They look like twin brothers. They have the same nutty look about them, the same dark, evil, soulless, grinning eyes. And Hunt is making no secret of the fact that he looks upon himself as Ebenezer Scrooge from A Christmas Carol. And if you know that story well, you know he's a miserable old git who has his his fist clamped tightly around whatever funds he has, and he abuses his poor old clerk, Bob Cratchit, coming up to the Christmas period. So this guy is likening himself to an arch villain in an old Dickens novel. Obviously, Scrooge comes good in the end. I don't hold out the same hopes for Jeremy Hunt, though, to be quite honest with you, turning out good at Christmas.
And I think the thing for citizens to be concerned about is, according to the latest release from the Office for National Statistics, realistically, every economy in the world is headed for recession, if not depression. This could potentially be one of the largest global financial crises we've seen in our lifetime, if these things are allowed to progress as they are. And quite frankly, I don't see anybody stepping in and actually halting the World Economic Forum's agenda. We're seeing nations' leaders supporting those agendas, and it doesn't bode well for us as humanity to see it headed that way. But I think the biggest thing that people can do is to simply continue working as best as they can and continue preparing for the possibility that there will be shortages, there will be work shortages, there will be electricity shortages and food shortages, and to prepare as best as an individual can. At the same time as continuing to speak the truth and continuing to hold these kinds of politicians accountable. They may be in power at the moment, but we've clearly seen with Truss, people come and go. Long as the citizens are willing to speak up and raise their voices and make some noise. Now, the disappointing part is that as we speak, day by day, inflation is growing, the cost of living is growing, employment rates seem to be coming and going. It seems that the employment rate isn't especially high, yet we're hearing a lot of employers say that they're having trouble getting staff. So, I'm not sure what the definition of unemployment in the UK is, but in Australia, the definition of unemployed is that you don't have a job and you are actively looking for a job. And you don't volunteer for more than an hour a week. So it's a very finite description that makes the politicians look good when they say there's a low unemployment rate. But the practicality is employers are saying that they're struggling to get committed staff to keep their businesses going. So we are on Struggle Street. And it doesn't seem to me that saying, well, if everyone just pays a little more tax, then we'll be able to balance the books. I can't help but wonder, has Jeremy Hunt had that conversation with Rishi Sunak? Will he be paying a little extra tax this year?
Well, here's the thing, okay? Here's the thing. This business of unemployment as well and lack of jobs, let's not forget, let's cast our eye across the scenario, the landscape of Australia. How many people were booted out of their jobs by virtue of the fact that they didn't succumb to vaccine mandates? You have teachers, you have classroom assistants, you have care assistants, you have medical workers, medical professionals, police, fire, you name it. They were all let go.
Transport drivers, so that also included pilots, airline staff, truck drivers, delivery drivers.
So this is government manufactured mass unemployment. And of course, one of the things that they're doing then is to justify the mass immigration that's happening across the globe at the minute. They say, well, we have a shortage of jobs. We're going to let people in from other places as long as they'll roll up their sleeve potentially.
We have this a skilled worker shortage.
A skilled worker shortage. And it's again, it's rubbish. My humble opinion is everything is traced back to the governments that are supposed to be running our countries. No matter matter what the problem, if it's inflation, house prices, lack of jobs, mass unemployment, everything can be traced back to those rogues that are so-called running our countries. And in fact, they are only running them into the ground. And it's the same in the UK. And this guy Hunt is an absolute gangster of the highest order. His past is very dodgy. His wife has very spurious connections as well. It's just an absolute mess. And here he is talking about that. And in fact, to quote you there, he said, we're all going to be paying a bit more tax, I'm afraid. That's fine if you're on a six-figure salary. You can probably weather the storm of an extra few hundred pounds a month on your tax bill. But if you're an average earner who's working their ass off just to make ends meet, every single tax hike, inflation hike, and interest rate hike kicks you hard in the pocket, and there's nowhere more painful to be kicked, I'm afraid, than in the pocket. So that's a good story, a good one to kick off the week with, Sonia, I must admit. A little bit depressing, I must admit, but it's reality. It's what's facing all of us out there, and we'll have to deal with these issues and call these so-called chancellors out, because they are not our friends. They are most definitely our enemies. So, Sonia, thank you for that input this morning, and hopefully I'll get talking to you again tomorrow. That's Sonia Bailey. I'm Rick Munn, and Joel Aegis is waiting in the wings to join me. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these ads here on TNT Radio.
Trish Wood on TNT Radio.
I am not one of those people who's afraid to be an election denier. I don't think American elections technically function particularly well, especially being someone in Canada, where we don't have the same kind of mail-in ballot hijinks that they do down there. I mean, it's come to the point in America now where the Democrats are pushing for more and more and more ways to vote that are less and less and less secure. And originally, obviously, that was because they were using COVID-19 as the reason and the mechanism for pushing this Wild West mail-in ballot idea. Of course, that's gone now, but if anybody wants to give it up, I know DeSantis kind of got rid of it in Florida, and they had the votes counted in about 15 seconds down there. But if you want to, tighten it up, you'll be accused of trying to stop people from voting. I mean, that they've got every single talking point, right? If you notice a problem, you're an election denier. If you question climate science, you're a climate science denier. I mean, it's just, it's a country and part of really the Western world, because we all suffer from the drumbeat of constant legacy media propaganda, but nowhere is it more obvious and more destabilizing than in what just happened to our brothers and sisters south of the border.
Trish Wood on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Let's take advantage of the freedoms that we have while we have them to advance the kingdom's objective to be salt and light.
Freedom is hard. Election security involves you, involves the voters.
This election for people of faith is vital that we see a change, because the war against Christians is at an all-time high.
Transparency is the key not only to having honest elections, but to maintaining public trust in those elections.
Our ability to vote is not being withheld from us. No one's trying to stop you from voting.
The one place the American people can have a say is at the ballot box. That's why the Democrats and the far left are working so hard to get rid of all election integrity.
We cannot let our elections be anything but transparent. It is at the very heart of freedom in a free society.
And if we lose America, I mean, it's all over, because the world has looked to America for hope.
Free and fair at salemnow.com.
Government faked a pandemic.
Government faked a test.
Government faked a cure.
Government must be held accountable.
There's nothing fake about us. Today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
The government. The government. I'm just going to say that twice. The government, the government. You can infer what you like from those two short words coming out of my mouth and the tone in which it is spoken. As you probably can gather, I'm not a big fan of government right now. Understandably, there are some crazy folk out there who actually think the government are out for their best interests. If that's you, I urge you to seek psychiatric help immediately, because you're omolalo. I'm not going to tell you what that means. It's an old Luya word from the western province of Kenya. You're omolalo. Anyway, I can't be censored for that because no one knows what it means. Anyway, I know, and I think you get the idea. Chat is going very lively this morning, just before we kick off here. Maz said good morning to me. Thank you, Maz. Safa's in there. Zippy's in there. Shuet 47, a first time I've seen that name, is in there. Trace says, hey, Rick, love your segments. They're lively and informative. Thank you very much. I'm in Australia. Things here are pretty crook. Rob Oyle says, good morning. Maz says, government spaffing more money down the toilet. Englishman's in there. And also Trace says, good on you, Sonia. Your comments are very well researched and you're doing great work. So that's a shout out to Sonia Bielik. So anyway, welcome all to the show. Joel Aegis is back. Joel has been running away from me for months now. Running, I tell you. He's been ducking and diving and weaving and bobbing and coming up with excuse after excuse after excuse. But he should know by now, as should all my guests, you can run from Rick Munn, but you cannot hide. All right. So anyway, he's been collared and yanked back onto Locked and Loaded again this morning. Joel Aegis from Sydney in Australia. How are you, mate?
It's good to be back. You know, you're right. I can't outrun you. That's for sure.
You can't. It's futile. So next time I ask you to come on the show, just agree. Don't come out with excuses. I'll track you down. What, like Liam Neeson in that film Taken? It doesn't matter where you are, I'm going to get you. That's my motto, and I'm persistent, but thank you very much. I know you've been very busy recently for coming back on the show, and it's good to see you again. You always smile. You're always grinning from ear to ear. I don't know whether I should be encouraged or disturbed by that, but anyway, you always make me smile. It kind of has a knock-on effect. Even look in the studio. Looks like he might even crack into a smile before the end of the show. He's very stoic, is our look. A solid guy, if ever I saw one. But it's all good. How are you?
It's doing well. Been busy, but I mean, you know, busy is good. Keeps me going.
Busy is good. There's an old saying. It says, the devil makes work for idle hands. Okay, that's the devil makes work for idle hands. So keep busy. I'm going to try and keep busy, and we're going to try and cover some of the events that are happening in good old Australia, because quite frankly, I've been neglecting the land down under recently in my editorials, been focusing on Europe and focusing on America. Australia, a lot going on over there. Albo was resurfaced again like a submarine, but of course it's not in Australia. He surfaced in Cambodia or wherever he is gallivanting around in the G20. Are you following his movements at the minute?
I mean, the guy's barely ever in his own country at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, he's just always, I mean, you know, they don't call him Airbus Albo for nothing, but I mean, he is always overseas or... you know, all these ministers, same thing. They're always going on trips overseas, you know. They'd criticise the Liberal Party if they were in government doing that. But, you know, Alba is just, I mean, is he the Prime Minister of this country? I don't know anymore. I mean, you know, he seems to be more interested in going over to these conferences.
He does, doesn't he? I remember when he was actually officially declared PM, you were on the show, I think, about 2 days after. It was the Monday after he was officially declared PM, and he was sworn in super fast. I think it was the fastest swear-in ceremony in history, in Australian history. So he gets sworn in on the Monday, and I think by the Thursday, he had jetted off to Indonesia or somewhere like that, racking up the air miles. That's another name they had for him, air miles, Albo. You know, he was fond of the old frequent flyer program. He must have a lot of air miles racked up so far this year, huh?
Surely. I mean, with all the traveling he's done.
And what has he got to show for it? What has he got to show? What has he actually done? What has Albanese done? If I wasn't an Australian, right, seriously, for the benefit of our listeners out there, you're an Aussie, you know what's going on the ground. If I came over to you and said, Joel, I've heard about this Albanese guy. I think he got elected back in May. What's he actually done for Australia? What has he done? How would you sum him up? How would you sum up his tenure in a few sentences? Could you even fill a few sentences?
I mean, you know, I'd struggle to at this point because, quite frankly, he's done barely anything decent for the country for the, maybe 8 months or so he's been in office. Yeah. I mean, you know, he'll come up to his first year in office in May next year. And, I mean, it's questionable as to whether he'll have any achievements to put under his belt there because, quite frankly, the only thing he's actually done at the moment is, put in the net zero policy and, passed climate change emissions laws and stuff like that. But that's it. Like, there's nothing decent no that's gone through.
There's no substance.
No substance at all. No.
It's like, that, I don't know what you guys call it over there, but we have this thing you go to a fairground and kids want candy floss or cotton candy, you know, it's a stick with a lot of sugar on top of it and a big puffy cloud. It's big. It looks big. It looks like it's a lot of eating in it, but it's just air and it's nothing, no substance at all. Should we rename him Cotton Candy Albo from now on? Because he's just like a big lump of processed sugar sitting on top of a stick, doesn't satisfy, doesn't do anything except rot your teeth out. Could this be his new name, do you think, on TNT?
I think that would be appropriate. I mean, given the circumstances, I think he'd bang on there, that's for sure.
You know, he'll give you, Anthony Albanese, your Prime Minister, will give you tooth decay. That's a fact, and he will not satisfy you, and you'll be left craving a big fat steak, which if Albo had his way, by the way, you would never eat again because he wants to either inject your cattle with mRNA or stop you from eating meat altogether, put your carbon credits through the roof, and of course, all the while, racking up those air miles on overseas trips. You know what? We've got to take a massively short news break, 45 seconds. When we come back, I want to look at his approach to whistleblowers and his ongoing neglect of Julian Assange. He doesn't seem to bring him up at all, even though he's an Aussie. And he's focused in on the like of David McBride, trying to nobble him at his trial for whistleblowing. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll look at how some of his influences are actually working negatively or not at all for people in Australia that need it most. So don't go away. This is TNT Radio, Joel Aegis, Rick Munn, Locked and Loaded. We'll be right back.
Matt Boyland here with a look at your TNT headlines. France has ended a years-long anti-insurgency operation in Africa. Moscow has lashed out at Washington after the United States declared it a non-market economy, enabling the US to raise prices on Russian imports. And with control of the US House still hanging in the balance, Speaker Nancy Pelosi says congressional colleagues are urging her to seek another term as Democratic leader.
We wear the PPE and wade through the muck so you don't have to. Never miss our thought-provoking take on the latest news and current affairs. Take TNT Radio wherever you go. Ask Alexa or Google to play TNT Radio or download the TNT Radio app for free from the App Store or Google Play. Today's news talk. This is TNT Radio.
Okay, I'm joined by Joel Aegis today. And by the way, you can connect with Joel on Twitter. He's very, active on Twitter. He likes to rant and rave a little bit on Twitter. You can find him at Joel, J-O-E-L underscore Aegis, A-G-I-U-S 1. And also he has a link tree, which is linktr.ee/ Joel Aegis. I'm just clicking on it to see what pops up here. What's popping up? Yes. So you can use that to connect with him on YouTube as well. He has a broadcast. I think the last time you came on, I tackled you about your lack of input on your broadcast. And I said, well, next time we talk, maybe you'll have updated your site. Have you done that?
Not quite. We're getting there. It's taking a little bit longer than I thought it would.
Joel, come on, lad. Get the finger out. You can also connect with them on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts, and maybe someday he'll actually have some content on there for you to listen to. It sounds good, doesn't it? Hey, I've got a YouTube channel. I've got a podcast. And then you don't do any work. Joel, come on, son. You have a lot to give. You have a lot to give, so get giving. I'm trying to encourage it in a very nice and friendly way, but I'm also trying to be a little bit passive aggressive because that's the Irishman in me. But anyway, yes, connect with Joel at the very least on Twitter, and when he decides to, when the notion takes him, he will update his podcasts and webcasts, etc. Albo, censorship, Julian Assange, let's take Assange for example. He's with Biden and Albo are together at the minute.
Yeah.
At the G20. There's been no mention of the Assange situation. Assange is an Australian citizen who's never actually been to America in his life, but they want to deport him from Belmarsh Prison in England for allegedly, breaking the law with espionage and whatnot because he leaked footage that was given to him of the American military killing civilians, amongst many other things. And he's been languishing in Belmarsh now. He's been under some form of arrest or incarceration for over 10 years. Albo never mentions him. But if you see his pre-election talk from years ago, he says, we need to do more, and if I had my way, I would do what I can, lobby to set Assange free. He's done absolutely nothing. Surely as an Australian PM, if there's an Australian citizen locked up with a worldwide backlash against America and Britain for doing what they're doing, why is Albo remaining tight-lipped?
See, this is a good question. I mean, you would think he would be, even with what you said about his speech he gave, years and years ago or whatever, it seems like it's sort of all talk, no action with these politicians. And, it's typical politician, really. But, the Liberal Party were the same. They never did anything about Julian Assange. They never really helped him or anything. And now Labor, they're, lacking in giving aid to him and helping him to trying to get him out of there and get him back to Australia at the very least. I think, Albo's over there with Biden, as you said, and instead of discussing this important matter, because quite frankly, Julian Assange should be freed from prison and brought home to Australia. Instead of talking about that, he's inviting Joe Biden to come and address the Australian Parliament next year. And it's just... Just thinking about that, that would be a disaster in itself. It's just...
What's he going to say? He going to say to the Australian? He can't even address his own country. What's he going to say? God only knows what he'll come out with. I remember when the Australians and the Brits and the Americans announced some type of union last year, military union. He couldn't even remember who Scott Morrison was. He just said, I want to thank Boris Johnson and my friend from down under. That's how you address ScoMo. I shudder to think what he'll look at. He maybe think Albo's his long lost uncle or something, or his brother-in-law. What's he going to say? Is that not just more money wasted, more time wasted, bringing the likes of Biden over to Oz to do what exactly? Forge relationships. There's no substance in that either, Joel.
They're about as clueless as each other. Honestly, Albo is just Albo is probably Australia's answer to Joe Biden because, quite frankly, it's like they're long-lost cousins. Honestly, the way they act, And, if he's going to fly Biden down to Australia, you think about it, they're all going on about this climate change stuff and with that whole climate conference over in Egypt or whatever. And while they're doing that, they're all, they're on their private jets or flying around everywhere in and out of Egypt. He's over, talking to Biden. And, if Biden does come out and address the Australian Parliament, as you said, what is he going to say? What is he going to do? He's just going to stand there. His people have to protect him from the media. He can't even address the media. He can barely do addresses without having somebody there to direct him and to sort of control him in a sense, to pull the strings and make sure that he's sort of saying what he needs to say. The guy can't even read read the lines on a cue card or anything. It's really just pathetic. Cards. Exactly. Or he'll misread the teleprompter. Yeah. Or He'll read it's the website and he'll say like .com.
It's like a humiliation ritual for him. I don't understand it. I don't know about you, but you know, his so-called family, and let's face it, you know, you know what the revelations about him and his family have been. I wouldn't say he's a particularly loved man, and certainly the way that they are allowing their own father slash husband to literally disintegrate live in front of worldwide audiences, stumbling, falling around, literally he's demented, exactly. And they're allowing this to happen. If they actually gave a damn about him as a human being, as a father, as a husband, or an uncle or whatever, they would say, listen, Dad, it's time for you to retire. You can't do this anymore. You're nearly 80 years of age. Your brain capacity is not quite there. If they loved him, they would do it. If his own party, if the Democratic Party loved him, if his so-called advisors and administration loved him, they would say, listen, we think you're great. We think you've done a great job. I don't, of course, but I'm just saying what they would say. But listen, it's time for you to step aside and let Kamala Harris on the old Oval Office throne. Hell's bells. What a nightmare that would be. Maybe that's why they're not doing it. Maybe they're like, hey, Dad, you're going to have to suck this one up for another 2 years. We can't have Kamala on the throne. Maybe that's what's stopping them. What do you think?
I mean, they'll probably, and the sad reality is, I mean, he turns 80 in, I think like a few days or a week or so. I mean, and they're going to make him run again. Like that's, I mean, you know, it's obvious that they're going to try and push him again, even though, you know, Kamala probably wants to run herself and she'll probably announce her own candidacy and try and run against him somewhat. And then obviously she'll probably fail because she's one of the most unlikable candidates out there. I think last primary she got barely any of the vote from the Democratic Party. So, I mean, the fact that she was made Joe Biden's VP was a shock to everyone, I think. But quite frankly, it's just cruel what they're doing. I mean, it's really just elder abuse at this point. And he should not be out there. They should be pulling him back and saying, look, it's time to just... You've had your career. You've been in Congress for... 40 something years. It's time to pull back now and just retire and go home, call it a day, do that. And, you know, I mean, same thing goes for some of the politicians in Australia. Honestly, they've been there for so long and they've got absolutely nothing done. I mean, it comes to a point where you just got to say to yourself, what am I doing here, really? I mean, and quite frankly, I think they're only there for the money, really. I mean, at the end of the day, it's the money and the power. And Pelosi's the prime example. I mean,
I think, Joel, actually, you know, you hit the nail on the head, the money and the power. But let me say this. I think it's the power because those people are ready. Their pockets are well lined. And even if they step back from office, if they step like Obama stepped away or Bush stepped away or Trump stepped away, they're making a fortune on the side as advisors 100%. And through allegedly dirty deals left, right, and center. With Pelosi, it's no secret she's making a fortune on insider stock trading. So whether or not she's the Speaker of the House of Representatives, she still have her contacts. But that old hag just will not let go of power. She's 83. Joe Biden's pushing 80. Even Trump, if he runs for president again, he's going to be pushing 80 by the time he gets elected and in the term. I don't know about you, my old dad, God bless him, he's 76, 77. He worked until he was 73 or something like that. He's just a worker. And to be honest, I think the thought of staying at home with my mum, 7 days a week was going to drive him insane. So he decided to work on until he was an old man. He retired for 3 months. Then he went back part-time, not because he needs the money, just because he likes keeping his oar in there. And I think it's the same with these so-called politicians. They're not doing it for the cash. They're doing it for the position, the influence, and the power. It's an aphrodisiac for them, and they just can't get enough of it. And hell's bells, man. Like, they won't go. They're like African dictators, you know, Mugabe, you know, Yoweri Museveni in Uganda. These people don't go. They just stay until they literally drop dead. So maybe that's going to happen with them. I don't know. Another thing, bear in mind, by the way, just to do with what we're talking about and supporting Assange. Prime Minister Anthony Albanese and the Labour Party threw whistleblowers Richard Boyle and David McBride under a bus. I don't know if you've been following David McBride's story. He's been on the show here quite a few times. They're trying to nubble his defence. He is a lawyer, by the way. I was in the ADF, whistleblew on crimes against humanity from the ADF. Now they're trying to tie him up in knots and jail him for 50-odd years simply for telling the truth, exposing murder, and yet they're trying to hamper him and lock him up for 50 years. They don't want people blowing the whistle, because when one person does it and gets away with it, the whole house of cards will come down.
That's right. And I mean, quite frankly, you know, I think even the last couple of years have shown that truth-telling is very much seen as criminal by the establishment these days. And, you know, they're sort of trying to convince everyone else that the truth is not reality, that, you know, that their idea of the truth is, you know, having my truth or, you know, something like that. So they've corrupted that term truth to try and co-opt it for themselves and create something that isn't actually, you know, to the point where you can't even determine what is true and what is false. You can't, the lines are blurred between fact and fiction. And I think the whole, I mean, with the whistleblowers, I think, you know, quite frankly, they deserve protection. I mean, if they're going to come out and speak the truth of the matter and tell everyone what really happens and what's really happened and what might be continuing to happen, I mean, you know, we don't know. But if they're going to come out and do that, it's a very courageous and a very brave thing to do. And it's quite risky at this point, and it shouldn't be risky. They shouldn't have to risk their whole careers, their whole, you know, lives in a sense, just for telling the truth. And the fact that that's happening now is quite horrendous. And it's just honestly disgusting that anything
And you would
to
think
them.
You would think it would be encouraged by the government to say, okay, we want to highlight corruption, we want to highlight misdeeds, we want to highlight dodgy dealings, and you should feel safe to come ahead and speak out anonymously if needed be, and we can prosecute to generate an atmosphere of integrity and openness and honesty. But it's quite the opposite, Joel. It's quite the opposite. Yeah. They're being suppressed and they're being demonized and threatened with 50-odd years in jail, treason charges, and one thing after the other. It's sending a message out to you and to me and anybody else that has dirt. They say we have a bit of dirt on you. In other words, we've got some compromising information that could hurt you because you've done something and I know about it. Instead of encouraging that, especially in the public sphere, it's being suppressed and it's being suffocated and it's being stifled. Again, come as no surprise, really. It's the same the world over. The same thing with Assange. He's being made a scapegoat. He's being set up there as a warning for you and I and any other journalist type out there that wants to speak the truth. This could happen to you. This could be you if you open your mouth. So think carefully. So that's the strategy, and to a degree, it seems to be working, but we'll keep an eye on that McBride case and obviously the Assange case as it continues to evolve. We've got to take a real quick ad break. When we come back, I want to look at good old Dan Andrews. Wouldn't be a TNT radio show without giving Dan a kick in the you-know-whats. So we'll focus on him when we come back. Listeners, don't go away. This is TNT Radio. We'll be right back.
The COVID template is being pushed to fight climate change at the UN Climate Summit in Egypt. From Washington, D.C., this is the Morano Minute with your host, TNT Radio's Mark Morano. I got back, and here's my appearance on Fox News with Dan Bongino on his show, Unfiltered.
Listen, this was so transparently obvious. The only thing they pushed about the vaccine and mask were mandates, which is the same thing they want to do with their climate plan. They're mirrors of each other, the COVID vax rollout and the climate plan stuff. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm here in Sharm el-Sheikh, Egypt, at this conference, and not only is the world Economic Forum here, the home of the Great Reset. They were on the panel with John Kerry when he went to use the COVID template to fight climate, i.e. authoritarianism. You don't have a say. Democracy goes to die.
Yes, democracy goes to die. The Great Reset in action at the UN Climate Summit. For the Morano Minute, this is Mark Morano on TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
The world is transitioning to so-called renewable energy, which is a form of economic suicide.
More than 60% of the world's electricity generation comes from fossil fuels. Only 6% comes from wind power, and 3% from solar. But more importantly, fossil fuels currently make up more than 80% of total world primary energy consumption. Oil remains the single largest source of global energy, which is mostly used in transport. Therefore, the energy generated from wind turbines makes up just 1% of total world primary energy consumption, and solar power, half of 1%. Renewables will not achieve net zero carbon, but the economic destruction under this agenda is severe and will get much worse unless this madness ends.
Aussie parents risk criminalization if they don't affirm their child's gender identity. The world has gone nuts. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Okay, just a few messages from the chat. Jethro has confirmed what we have believed, Joel, that Albo is a halfwit, in his own words. And also Candy Floss is called Fairy Floss in where I am. I'm assuming you're in Australia. Jethro, anti-lockdown alliance is leaving links to do with an Irish bill to criminalise possession of hateful material. I'll probably cover something like that off in the second hour of the show here today. And also the Aussie government left David Hicks in Guantanamo for years. It's true to form for them to do absolutely nothing about Julian Assange. So thank you for the input. An Englishman also is leaving some links in to do with migrants clashing with French police in Dunkirk as they try and reach Britain. The invasion continues relentlessly. Oh, boy, oh boy. You and I, Joel, could do at least 4 hours this morning, minimum four hours, if you had the time and the stamina, and we still wouldn't be scratching the surface of the crap that's going on in the world right now. So let's try and keep it domestic here. Dan Andrews, what a fascinating character he is. I'm actually having a flashback to whenever I started off in the show. I can remember, I want to talk about the fall of Dan Andrews, and I don't mean his literal political fall. I mean the time he fell down stairs, allegedly. I'm seeing pictures of where he fell, and it was like two steps. I think he said he punctured his lungs. He was out of action for a long time. What happened with Dan Andrews? Did he fall or was he pushed? That's the question.
It's the age-old question, isn't it? I think, you know, it'll become a question like the, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, you know? what actually happened that day, that fateful day? Honestly, I mean, this man, I mean, the fact that he's, you know, he's going to an election now in a few weeks' time, and we're at a point where we're actually, you know, thinking in Australia, these people are actually going to re-elect the Labor government down there. I mean, we've already given up hope, you know, because, I mean, quite frankly, the Victorian Liberal Party are a mess. And, I mean, they're running the same guy leading, the same guy is leading them as was, as happened last election. I mean, they've been through a couple of leaders now in this term in opposition, and they've somehow managed to find their way back to the same guy. They're going to have probably the same result. I mean, it could end up being worse for them. They could end up losing even more seats this time. But it's just a pattern now. I mean, you know, the Liberal Party's sort of being wiped out across Australia because they just can't get their, they can't get their things together, quite frankly. And I mean, you know, I mean, at this point, the best we're hoping for is that Labor, you know, if they are going to get re-elected, that they get re-elected without Daniel Andrews. I mean, we're all holding out hope that he'll lose his seat at Mulgrave. But, you know, somehow, just, you know, just ever so conveniently, he's managed to come out on top in the random draw for the voting cards, and managed to come out in the number one spot there. So, I mean, that's, you know, there's nothing suspicious about that or anything. It's just plain old Victoria.
Let me say this, right? For all you Melbournians out there, you Vic residents out there, and listen, I love Australia. You know I love Australia. My dad, God bless him, settled in Melbourne for 2 years back in the 60s as an immigrant before he turned on his tail and left and came back here to Ireland. have family, lived in Melbourne and Dolphin. I know Melbourne. I know Victoria. I love the place. I love Oz. And I say this with respect to any residents of Victoria that are listening to me right now. As a state, Victoria, if Dan Andrews gets reelected, it gives a message to the world, okay? The message is one of two things. Either you people are insane, okay? The residents of Victoria are insane or suffering from a case of mass Stockholm syndrome where you have fallen in love with your oppressor or developed an emotional bond with the person that has been kicking you black and blue for the last several years. And he is a rogue, by the way. He's under so many investigations and corruption allegations and this. I mean, what's it going to take for, is he going to have to like rock up to some supermarket and decapitate an old lady live on TV before his election is dashed? Or maybe he would still get elected. I don't know. What's it going to take to get rid of Chairman Dan?
I mean, honestly, that's the question I've been asking myself since last week, even, you know, like especially last week after it came out that there was another IBAC investigation taking place, which, you know, he's refusing to speak about as usual because, you know, oh, I can't speak until the investigation's completed, you know. But every single time, I mean, the whole investigation that was done into the way they handled the pandemic. And I mean, hopefully there'll be another one that is actually much better, because the one that they did where they looked into sort of all the players in Victoria, it ended up coming back that, you know, the people that sort of were involved, they ended up, you know, just conveniently saying, oh, you know, I think it's time for me to quit politics, so I'm not going to run at the next election. And inevitably we'll end up seeing them probably find a nice corporate job somewhere, you know, on a board or in an executive role. I mean, they always end up there. But, you know, I mean, quite frankly, what is it going to take to get rid of this guy?
That's what I mean.
If he can manage to avoid accountability every single time under every single investigation, then it says that the system is absolutely stuffed down there, quite frankly. And I think, you know, if the people of Victoria do re-elect him, then that's their problem now, you know? I mean, quite frankly, they're going to have to deal with it. I mean, unfortunately, I mean, you know, I think that there could be the possibility that a lot of the people who don't like him have sort of moved out of the state, and that could play a significant role in, you know, in sort of lowering the vote for the Liberal Party and for Conservatives. You know, if they don't get rid of him, then they've got to put up with him. And I mean, good luck to them, because quite frankly, they're insane.
That's what I mean. And I say that, you know, genuinely, I want to see the people, every country do well and be well-governed and well-led. But Vic in particular, and I mean, they had one of the longest lockdowns, if not the longest lockdown on planet Earth under Dan Andrews. And you look at the police brutality and his links, alleged links with, you know, the police force and, you know, running over people on bikes and wasting money and you name it. It's like a checklist of corruption and scandal and mismanagement.
Don't forget his empathy to China as well. I mean, there's been some issues there. I mean, he tried to let them in with the Belt and Road thing a few years ago. And if it wasn't for Scott Morrison cutting that out, China would have easily gotten in there.
So there's another thing. I mean, the list literally goes on. Yeah. And this is not a list of things that, you know, are encouraging you to vote for the guy. These are a list of reasons why you shouldn't. And yet, there is the very real possibility that he will get back in as premier. And, you know, a lot of talk going around the world at the minute on electoral fraud and lack of integrity with elections. And let's face it, there is some scandalous practices going on and some very dodgy dealings going on. But you see, even if you take fraud out, I actually think that the humans of this planet have reached such a critical period of stupidity, all right, that they're actually, forget the fraud, forget about rigging. I think people are just dumb as a whole, of course, there's exceptions. You and I and maybe Luke are an exception to that. There are exceptions to that on our listeners, of course, and the people working in the station. But you get what I'm trying to say. I believe there's a mass delusion, a mass psychosis, mass hypnosis, call it what you want. It just infected people's minds, and they're literally voting for their captor, voting for their oppressor, and they want him back. They want to stay under his iron vice-like grip. And you know what? They say, be careful what you wish for, because you just might get it. And Victorians, let me tell you this, that guy, if you thought the last 2 years was bad, wait until he gets going on climate, wait until he gets his feet back under the desk again for another however many years, you're in for a hell of a ride, let me just say that, and it's not going to be pleasant. That's what I'm seeing.
Absolutely not. I mean, you know, I can tell you already, if they end up going down this track of having, you know, climate lockdowns, which has been predicted, and, you know, I think, and implementing, you know, even central bank digital currencies and stuff like that, he will do it in a heartbeat. And quite frankly, if, you know, if Victoria re-elect him, I mean, it's sort of the end of Victoria in that sense. I mean, we may as well just cut that state off from Australia and let it float out to sea. And join New Zealand. I mean, honestly.
It'll be the new Tasmania. Victoria will be the new Tasmania. You heard it here first, folks. And I wouldn't be surprised if he did get diggers in to dig the borders out and pour water in it like a moat almost. And this is now the kingdom of Dan Andrews. It sounds crazy. It sounds ridiculous. But in these days, we cannot rule anything out. Joel, my friend, we are up to time here, unfortunately. But just want to thank you for coming back on the show again. I appreciate it. And yeah, let's hopefully it'll not be so long before you're back on next time. That's Joel Agius at Joel, JOEL_IAGIUS1 on Twitter. Follow him there. You have a good night, young lad. We'll stay in touch. And yeah, we'll be back after the news with Aisling O'Loughlin for the first time here on TNT Radio. Please don't go away.